In the Gospel of St. John today, it says, "At that time Jesus saith to his disciples, Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." Pope St. Pius V, his statue is above us here today, above the pulpit. His was a rough life, one of battle, struggle, trial. The situation into which he was born was grim, and much like today. And Martin Luther, he had just published his 95 Theses in Germany, which began the Protestant Reformation and thus led entire countries into apostasy. And this in turn led the kingdoms of Europe into constant fighting and battles. The relations between church and state were strained because some of the civil leaders, well, they fought to keep their land Catholic, while others fought to eliminate the Catholic faith from their countries. So as Europe, all of these European countries fought one against the other, they were also, as if it were not enough already, in constant danger of being overtaken by Muslim invaders. On top of this, within the church, there was the problem of nepotism, poorly trained clergy, theological debates, and the like. You see how history repeats itself, don't you? Well, when he was elected pope, there was, of course, a lot of work to be done in the church and in society. And he would need much courage and much help to do this work. Only this courage and this help came not from earth, but from prayer and a very intense spiritual life. You see, as a priest, when Pope Pius V was ordained, he was already most devoted to Our Lady and to the Rosary. Remember that it was he who officially approved the 15-decade Rosary that was given to St. Dominic. He made all-night vigils, practiced interior recollection amidst all of his duties. As Pope, he continued to be just as prayerful in spite of so many concerns, both in the church and outside of the church, but he always kept a prayerful spirit. But the most famous incident of this holy pontiff's life is, of course, perhaps because it was so miraculous and the good results so unlikely, naturally speaking, was the Battle of Lepanto. Just when, as I mentioned before, just when there was all of this infighting among the Europeans, the Muslims struck. They found them at their weakest. The leader of the Muslims, many of you might not know this, was a very proud man, and he openly and very proudly threatened that he would go into Rome itself and place a crescent atop the dome of St. Peter's Basilica, and then he would place a turban upon the head of the Pope. Now, the enemy had already invaded Egypt and North Africa, the Balkans. It had overtaken Constantinople. One by one, each Christian island fell to the Muslims. And now their eyes were turned to Rome. And Pope Pius V, he asked all of the Europeans to, just for a time, lay aside all of their squabbles and their fights in order to battle against a common enemy. Not all would answer. France and Germany would not take part in the Holy League, but he only managed to get about 200 ships. The Muslims outnumbered the Christians almost by twice as many. and this was, humanly speaking, not enough. All of his advisors, the cardinals, told Pope Pius V that this was impossible to defeat the Muslims. And that's when he said very bravely, "It is because of a weak faith such as yours that so many of these other Catholic countries have been overrun. You must remember," he said, "God is always invincible." And so he went with his 200 ships and not enough men. He went against the enemy. Our saint knew that this was more than enough, because he knew that the mighty angels of heaven were at his beck and call. All he had to do was to imitate our Lord, who said in the Garden of Olives, "Don't you know that all I must do is ask my Father, and he will send me thousands of legions of angels?" And the Pope is the vicar of Christ. As the battle drew near, the Pope ordered all the churches in Rome to remain open for public prayer. He asked all Catholics over the world to join him in saying the rosary for success. The soldiers themselves received Holy Communion, and when they boarded the ship, all throughout the night, as they sat there in the sea and the darkness, they prayed their rosary. And do you know what they say? That when the Muslims heard them praying, they heard the rhythm and the repetition of Hail Mary after Hail Mary, and they began to become intimidated, the Muslims did. In this way, not by force of arms, but by prayer more than anything, was the victory gained. They asked, and they obtained. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord is once again preparing his apostles for his departure into heaven. He knew quite well that they had grown quite attached to him. During the 3 years they spent with him, the Son of God, they had only to ask him for anything, and it would be given. But now our Lord tells them to ask the Father in his name, and they shall obtain all. Amen, amen, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Now, St. Augustine says that this was not just a mere promise. He goes farther and says that our Lord took an oath, as if our Lord said, "I swear to you that whatever you ask in my name, it will be given by my Father." And this teaching was altogether a new one for the apostles, but was also a very consoling doctrine, because they already knew our Lord by experience. They knew of his love for them and his goodness, how easily our Lord listened to their conversation and their worries, etc., and how easily he looked after their needs. Whenever they asked him for something, he was quick to give it to them. When in danger, he was there to help them. Remember the apostles on ship in the Sea of Galilee, being tossed to and fro by the waves. The boat would have sunk had they not cried out, "Lord, save us, we perish." He heard that prayer. And then, whenever they were uncertain about something, they would ask our Lord to enlighten them, and that enlightenment was always given. But now our Lord is essentially telling them, whatever you used to ask of me, I want you now to ask of the Father. He will just as readily, as lovingly, and as fully hear and understand you as I used to do myself. Now, it's important to know what it is to ask in the name of Christ. St. John Chrysostom said it the best, in my opinion. He said, Christ here shows the power of his name, for when he is merely named before the Father, he does marvelous things. And the same saint goes on, to ask in the name of Christ is to ask through the merits of Christ. In other words, when we ask anything of God, we should ask him to grant it on account of our Lord's merits, not our own. And by doing this, we are essentially asking God to look not upon us, not upon our worthiness or unworthiness, our sinlessness or sinfulness. We are asking him to look not upon us, but upon the face of Christ whom he loveth and which is so pleasing to him. And this is the way in which we ought to begin and end every single prayer that we send to heaven. Furthermore, Christ promised that whatever we ask in this way will be granted. He took an oath. He swore to it. Many of you might even now be asking, how then have my prayers not been heard? That's a good question and a practical one. First, as St. James says in his epistle, it is because we ask for something that is not good for us. Or again, secondly, we do not ask in the proper way. There are conditions to prayers. You know them. Humility and reverence is the first condition. If you go to our Lord saying, I am worthy of this, I do everything right or try to do, please give it to me, then you are relying on your own merits and therefore offering up a prideful prayer. First, we ought to place ourselves in God's presence and outwardly recognize that we are unworthy, utterly and completely unworthy to stand in his presence because of our sins. We should acknowledge to him that I can do nothing without you. Were you to even forget me for an instant, I would become less than nothing. We must pray with true sorrow for our sins. And the reasoning is this, that he who prays should already be, or at least truly desire to be, a friend of God. Sinners who willfully persist in a life of mortal sin actually make themselves the enemies of God and have absolutely no right to be heard by God. This one scripture commentator said the following, dost thou wish God to hear thee? Then do thou first obey his will, and God will do thy will and grant thy desires. We should pray with faith and confidence. You know, whenever we ask our fellow men for something, we might have reason to doubt that we'll get that thing, either because man is fickle or because he is forgetful. Sometimes he is just too concerned with his own problems, or maybe he is just plain unfaithful to his word. But none of these things can be said of Almighty God. And besides that, God is infinitely powerful. He made the universe, then that means he certainly can take care of your little world. Do you believe the catechism question and the answer to it? You know it so well. Can God do all things? You ask the first communicant. Yes, God can do all things. But do you believe that with faith, the virtue of faith? If so, then it must be applied to your prayers. And the fourth condition is perseverance. This is something that we are not too good at. To persevere in prayer when we think that we are not being heard. Now imagine for a moment if Saint Monica had given up praying for the conversion of her son. We'd have no Saint Augustine. We'd have no great doctor of the church who has done so much with his writings to save souls, to lead souls to the church. For 18 years, God made Monica wait and ask and wait some more and ask again and wait again. And for 18 years, Monica stood at God's door knocking and waiting for an answer. She knew that he was there. She knew that he heard the knocking, and she was confident that if she kept knocking, that he would eventually answer. And the fruit of this persevering prayer was greater than anyone might have expected. It gave us one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. During this week of intense public prayer, with the Rogation Days and the Holy Day, the chanting of the litanies, the novena, let's just return to basics. Review in your catechism books or in spiritual books on prayer, review the conditions necessary for prayer, and use it as an examination of conscience on each point. Do I pray humbly? Do I pray with confidence that God can do all things? And do I pray with perseverance? It is a duty, lastly, of man to pray. That is why we are here, and we must pray our way to heaven. If we stop, we will not make it. If we continue to pray, then we will. It is the key to heaven. So it is all the more necessary that we know not only that we must pray, but in which manner we must pray. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.